You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to your latest Locked On NFL crossover special. I am Evan Sattery, the host of Locked On Colts, joined by your boy Q, the host of Locked On Raiders. We're here for a very intriguing matchup here on Sunday between the Indianapolis Colts and the Las Vegas Raiders. Q, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. Looking forward to this game. I love the fact that the AFC is so bunched up and you really don't know who's going to be playing later in January as far as the playoffs goes. And these games are all going to matter down the stretch. So this one should be an interesting one depending on who's actually out there playing for both teams.
Yeah, speaking of that, there's a lot of interesting conversations about what's going on with COVID-19. Just to really quickly rehash what's going on from the Colts side of things, I'll ask you about the Raiders. Carson Wentz, Darius Leonard, Quentin Nelson, Mark Glowinski, pretty much the entire offensive line on top of that with Kari Willis, Rakia Sin, half of their secondary, and then also Zach Pascal, one of their wide receivers, and a lot of depth pieces are all on the reserve COVID-19 list currently. But as of yesterday, Q, we saw the CDC and also the NFL and the NFLPA quickly come to an agreement to follow the CDC's new rules where a quarantine period for either asymptomatic or symptomatic players is only 5 days instead of 10 days. And if you're showing no symptoms by game day, you could play on Sunday. And that really impacts this game because originally when I saw the news yesterday about Carson Wentz going on the COVID list, Q, I really thought this game would be a lot different. But now there's a good sign from the Colts side that maybe all these guys could play on Sunday somehow. So what's your reaction to that? And also, is there any news from the COVID side of things with the Raiders this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And one of the things that I said on previous podcasts is knowing that Carson Wentz was one of those unvaccinated guys and knowing how many people were coming down with it, I thought, man, I hope, and I really do, I hope that he doesn't get it, because you don't want to have this game played without your best guys out there. You just don't. You know, I don't care who you're rooting for. You want to see a game with the best of the best out there. And so Carson Wentz is obviously the best option for the Colts at quarterback. So when I saw the news, I thought, oh man, that stinks. I knew there was a chance of it. And so then when all of a sudden the CDC and the NFL and the NFLPA, they kind of pivoted and changed the isolation time up, I thought, okay. And I know a lot of Raider fans got angry about it. Everyone thought, oh, the NFL is just trying to make sure that the Raiders lose the game and all that. Well, I looked at it completely opposite. I said, hey, you know what? Casey Hayward, Corey Littleton, Patrick Owosu, Denzel Perryman, Darius Filon, KJ Wright, you know, guys like that, Marcus Mariota, Brian Edwards, Will Compton, guys like that that have just recently gone on the COVID-19 list for the Raiders also have a chance to get back. So, hey, I'll take it. You know, I'm okay with it. If Carson Wentz goes out there and has an opportunity to play, and all those defenders that I just mentioned, including Marcus Mariota and Brian Edwards, the wide receiver, they have an opportunity to get back and play, great. It'll make for a much better game. So as long as these guys out there are feeling healthy and feeling okay and don't feel like that they're setting anyone else up for failure, I'm all right with the situation and the way that they decided to make things happen.
Yeah, potentially, Q, could now be two fully healthy teams pretty much on Sunday. But I want to hit really quickly on one more player and his status for Sunday before we dive into some other key points about this Raiders team this year. Very intriguing team to follow along with this year. But what is the updated status? I know Colts fans are really interested to hear about this as well. The updated status on Darren Waller for Sunday.
That's a really good question. Raider Nation is trying to get an updated status as well. It sounded like when we met with Rich Bisaccia on Monday that he's getting better, but it felt to me, and this is just my gut feeling, that he's leaving it up to Darren. You know, if Darren's going to feel okay and feels comfortable enough to go out there and play, he's going to let him go. But I think right now at this point, it's a decision on where his comfort level is. And so hopefully a little bit later on this week, probably on Friday, we'll get an update, a final update of where he is as far as practice. That's one thing that Rich Bisaccia said. Hey, we want to see him out there on the practice field a couple times just to see if he can get a nice little rhythm going. So really it's going to be determined by what he does the rest of this week.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Obviously, Darren Waller, one of the best offensive playmakers in the NFL. He's beaten the Colts a couple times with some big numbers in the past, so we'll have to see if he gives it a go on Sunday. But let's pivot over here, Q, to – I want to hit on the quarterback here. Derek Carr, 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions this year, almost 4,500 yards, completing almost 70% of his passes as well. But if you add in he's missed Darren Waller for a good chunk the last month or so, add in the fact with the turmoil off the field with the John Gruden situation, now you have an interim head coach. What's it been like to watch Derek Carr this year kind of leading this team through this mess and having them on the doorstep. If they beat the Colts on Sunday, Q, they're in the playoffs when we look at the playoff picture at the end of Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I think that he's the right guy for the job. For everything that you mentioned that's gone on with the Raiders this season, it's been a roller coaster affair, a very emotional affair. I mean, it's just been one of those seasons that you can never predict it at the beginning that this is how things was going to shake out. But I think with Derek Carr being the veteran that he is, his faith that he leans on really heavily, I think he's had an opportunity to really be a strong leader on and off the field for the team. And there's always going to be questions. Is he the guy? Is he not the guy? But you throw out the numbers right there. I mean, he's the best guy for the job right now. And so I think that what he's done has been pretty incredible. And again, for the team to be where they are and have an opportunity, like you mentioned, to make the playoffs, they win a couple games, some things go right for them, then yeah, they can be in postseason play. You got to give them a big, huge tip of the cap, because a lot of teams would have probably folded with everything that the Raiders have gone through this season.
Yeah, speaking of the potentially folding after that whole situation with John Gruden, how has Rich Bisaccia really helped steer this ship in the right direction? Because I think if any other situation, if any other guy stepped into this with all the distractions off the field, the John Gruden situation, a lot of coaches wouldn't know how to handle that situation. But it seems like Bisaccia stepped right into the fold and really helped this team get right back on track.
Yeah, he did. You know, the thing about it, I think because he's been in the league for so long, I know he's never been a head coach, but he's been in the league and he's worked with so many great coaches, and he has a lot of former head coaches on the staff still. You know, Gus Bradley, Tom Cable, Rod Marinelli. I mean, he's got multiple guys that have been head coaches at some point and guys that have been seasoned veterans. I think that's helped as well. Not to mention some of the leadership just from the players and, as we mentioned, Derek Carr as well. So I think that it kind of all collided and worked together really well, and they've tried to keep the train on the track as much as possible. Now, they've had some lulls in the season as it's gone along, but that's expected from a regular season. Then you combine that with everything that's been going on. So he's done the best he can. I think he's an interim head coach. I know he wants to be the long-term head coach. I think he's just that, an interim head coach. And, again, he's just he didn't choose this situation, but the situation that he's in, and he's done the best job he can navigating through this, all the turmoil that's gone on all season long.
Let me ask you about one of my favorite players to watch so far this year. He has really taken a leap forward. When you look at the actual raw numbers, you might think it's not been a big breakout, so to say, but Max Crosby, the Raiders pass rusher, fourth round pick. If you swap the pick out with Cleveland Farrell in the top five, I think he would have been the top five pick the last couple of years, the way he's playing. 26 quarterback hits so far this year. Just a monster number. He's just a pressure monster as well off the edge for the Raiders. What's been your impressions of Max Crosby so far this year and throughout his career? Because I feel like he's really flying under the radar still in the NFL amongst the best pass rushers. He's got a big problem for this Colts team on Sunday.
I mean, he really could be, and he's had a heck of a season. And, you know, the thing about it is in training camp, I saw him up close and personal, and it just seemed like he was playing at a faster speed, you know, a different level than he's played his first two seasons in the league. And the thing about it is, you know, he stopped drinking. He's been sober for over a year and a half now, I believe, it's been a very long time. And he's very proud of that, and something that he credits, you know, Darren Waller for helping him get to that point. And I think that that's also helped him. I think that's had him going into games clear-minded, no alcohol weight on him or anything. I mean, he's playing at a high level. Plus, he has Unique Ngakoue across from him, and they're really tight with each other. So they push each other to be great, and they really have done a good job on those edges, getting after the quarterback. The sack numbers aren't out of the ballpark. They're not just hitting a home run every game, but I mean, they're getting those pressures, like you mentioned, on the quarterback, which are huge. Again, they'd like to have their sack numbers up a little bit more. Both the guys would, but man, they are playing at a very high level, and those are really the leaders of the Raiders defense. That has been a really nice piece of the puzzle this season, as opposed to what we've seen from previous years where the defense has been horrendous. Their defense has been really good this year.
Last one I had for you, Q, before we dive into the next segment of our show, talking about the Indianapolis Colts, you can ask me some questions. We had on Crosby, I think, one of the most underrated defenders in the NFL. We had on Derek Carr, the quarterback. For Colts fans out there listening to us, who are some Raiders players to really keep an eye on both sides of the ball on Sunday that could really make a monster impact for the Raiders, that could really flip things over to their side?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of those guys are on the COVID-19 list right now, but we think that, you know, they should be able to come back with the new rules and everything that have been put in place. I'm assuming that they're going to get back in time for the game. But I'll tell you, man, Denzel Perryman, in particular, the linebacker, man, he really was a player that was out for a couple weeks for the Raiders, and he returned last week and helped lead that Raider defense to holding the Denver Broncos to 18 yards rushing. And we all know that Denver wants to run the ball, and of course that would be huge going up against the Colts, who are going to run the ball. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's no way that you even hold Jonathan Taylor to 18 yards. You just hope that you can slow him down a little bit because he's that stinking good. But Denzel Perryman's definitely one of those guys. Of course, Yannick Ngakoue, like I mentioned. You know, Nate Hobbs, he's a guy that I like a lot. I like what he's done to with the team or on the team so far this year. The rookie out of Illinois, the fifth round pick. He plays in the slot a lot, but I mean, he's a playmaker without a lot of numbers, but you could just see he's flying around the field. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's a guy that I like on the defensive side of the ball. And then you got to look over at the offensive side and look at Hunter Renfrow. You know, Hunter Renfrow is going to be a guy that's going to be a major factor in this game as well. He's got over 90 catches for the Raiders. Only Jerry Rice, Tim Brown, and Hunter Renfrow in the career wide receivers for the Raiders have had 90-plus catches in a season. So that's some nice company that he's in right there. So obviously he's a go-to guy for Derek Carr. So just a few guys to look at and pay attention to on Sunday in this game, depending on who's all out there due to COVID-19.
Yeah, Renfrow is going to be a major mismatch problem for this Colts secondary. They're at the lockout on him on Sunday, Q. But let's go ahead and dive over to our next segment of the show, talk about the Indianapolis Colts. In the meantime, though, I want to give you guys a quick reminder of our sponsor today's show, which is Bet Online. Bet Online is covered for this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football continues its march through the college bowl season and the pro football playoffs. Bet Online remains the number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the website or use your mobile device right now, sign up today, and you'll receive a 50% off welcome bonus to your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, so don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available to you right now. Bet Online, where the game starts.
All right, Evan, let's get this thing cooking, man. It's opportunity now to talk about the Colts as they're the next opponent up on the schedule, the Raiders and the Indianapolis Colts in Indy. And Indy's had a heck of a season, man. I mean, there's been multiple times where you thought, okay, maybe this team is going to take a couple steps back, and maybe they're not going to use that huge weapon, Jonathan Taylor, in the backfield. But that guy is an awesome – he's obviously in the conversation for the MVP. I could clearly see them giving it to him, and I have no problem with that. But just what has the season been like? How has the season felt to you from, you know, your point of view covering the Indianapolis Colts? What has this been like so far?
It's been a roller coaster, definitely, Q. I mean, you look at the start of the season, 0-3, and at that point, you look at Colts Twitter and just everyone that's watching the Colts, it's reaching DEFCON levels saying, oh, the Carson Wentz trade isn't going to work out. They need to bench him to save the draft pick. Frank Reich's overthinking things. The defense taking a step back. Jonathan Taylor hasn't had a 100-yard game yet in the first three games. The offensive line is not gelling together. The pass rush, the defense is not consistent right now. But, man, over that stretch of games, I mean, they've won – 8 of their last 10 games since then, which really goes to show you exactly what's happened with this team. They just flipped a switch after their 0-3 start. And in those three losses, Q, they've actually had a double-digit lead in all three of those games, the Ravens, the Titans, and the Buccaneers. So if they wouldn't have choked those games away in the fourth quarter, might be talking about a team that's 11-3 right now instead of 8-6 with the way they're playing. Just one of the hottest teams in the NFL. Their defense is stiffening up at a perfect time. Jonathan Taylor has taken a superstar leap this year. Like you mentioned, in the MVP race alongside Aaron Rodgers, he's on pace to have 2,200 scrimmage yards and 23 touchdowns this year. Just an amazing performance from Jonathan Taylor this season. Carson Wentz, too. If you would have told me before the start of the season he would have a higher QBR than Patrick Mahomes this year, I would have told you right away that trade worked out perfectly for them because he's played exactly how you want him to. He's avoided those situations where he's played hero ball. It's come at the worst times for them in those games against Tampa Bay and Tennessee, for example. But more often than not, Carson Wentz doing exactly what he's told to do. 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions in 15 games so far this year for the Colts, being very efficient when he throws the ball down the field. And that touchdown he had on Christmas Day against the Arizona Cardinals, that was one of the best throws I've seen in the NFL this year. Just special arm talent that Carson Wentz has. Frank Reich has really dialed him back and brought back the 2019 version of Carson Wentz, which has been an incredible feat for Frank Reich. I mean, I think he's right in the race for Coach of the Year, to be quite honest, alongside with Taylor with MVP. So this team has flipped the switch. I think they're one of the hottest teams in the NFL. And I think on Sunday, it's actually going to be a really good game between these two teams because the Colts and the Raiders stylistically, if everyone's out on the field with the COVID protocols, I think it's going to be a really good game on both sides where it could come down to the last moment because these two teams actually match up very well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it does feel like that a lot of these players that are out right now due to COVID-19 are going to get back. But how concerning is it for you and obviously the Colts with the guys that are out currently, even if they're able to play on Sunday, which it looks like they will be, just without them being able to go through the week of practice and their normal reps because they're still kind of in the isolation process? How big of a concern is that? Or is it because it's, you know, so late in the season, week 17, that it should be a little bit easier to deal with?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both there, to be quite honest. And especially if Carson Wentz, who is unvaccinated, if he can't go on Sunday, if he is still showing symptoms, Sam Ehlinger, the rookie out of Texas, it's definitely a big step down from Carson Wentz to Sam Ehlinger. So if Ehlinger suits up on Sunday, I'm definitely leaning towards the Raiders in that scenario. But, I mean, this may be a cop-out answer here, Q, but they still have Jonathan Taylor back there. He's perfectly right. Healthy. He's perfectly fine. So, I mean, if Ehlinger suits up on Sunday, Jonathan Taylor's going to get 40-plus touches in this game. I mean, he's just an incredible talent to watch. He's one where he could take 180 yards down the field or he can carry two or three guys on his back for two to four extra yards every single time. There goes down first contact. So that's the easy way of looking at it with this Colts team is that you have such a special player in the backfield that it kind of makes up for the other warts on your team, which really goes to show just how incredible this guy is only in his second year in the NFL.
You know, I'll tell you this, even if Carson Wentz is in the game, I'd find a way to get the ball to Jonathan Taylor 40 times a game. I mean, the dude is an incredible talent. Like you mentioned, man, he's going to be fun to watch in the NFL for a very long time. Why was there a stretch of games where it felt like Taylor wasn't being fed the rock?
Yeah, really interesting because you look at his numbers in the first 6 weeks of the season, he only had about 15 touches per game. But ever since then, here's the numbers over the last six or seven games, 21, 32, 16, 32, 29, 27. Those are just Jonathan Taylor's carries over that stretch where the Colts have really caught fire here. And I think it's honestly looking back on it now, I think it's a little bit of two things. I think Frank Reich didn't really know what he had yet in Jonathan Taylor, how special a talent he truly was. And I think the second part is they might have been saving Jonathan Taylor to give him that heavy Derrick Henry-esque workload for this final stretch of the season because they knew they're going to have to put him on his back the last 2 months of the season, which could be another valid point there as well. So I think it's a little bit of both there. But you look at the way that the Colts, I think if they would have given Jonathan Taylor this workload in the first 6 weeks of the season, they might have won an extra one or two games in that stretch, and they might have been fighting Kansas City right now for that number one seed in the AFC for home field advantage. So it's just been unlucky breaks here and there. I know Frank Reich, I think he regrets not giving Jonathan Taylor the ball more to start this season. But, you know, the way he's playing now, it's just truly, truly incredible to watch a guy like this continue to go out there and just simply dominate defenders.
You know, and when he's out there and able to dominate the way he is, I mean, that opens up the rest of the game. That opens everything up for the other wide receivers on the squad, and there's some dynamic wide receivers, obviously, on the Colts. So how much easier when he's cooking does that make Carson Wentz's job or whoever's behind center? I mean, Sam Ehlinger, that's a different story just because he's a rookie, and I know he's had, what, three carries so far this season, and that's about it. You know, that's got to open up the game, though, for Carson Wentz, being able to have a guy like Jonathan Taylor kind of clear things out for everybody else.
Absolutely. I mean, it opens up not only for Carson Wentz, but also Frank Reich, because Frank Reich admitted to the local media about a month or two ago to us that the playbook is fully open for him for the first time since 2018 with Andrew Luck. And I think a lot of that has to do with Jonathan Taylor, but also with Carson Wentz and his strong arm. In 2018, when the Colts went on that run, when they were 1-4 and finished 10-6, very heavy run attack, mixing in the play action with deep shots down the field. That's exactly what the Colts are doing right now with Carson Wentz under center. Just taking those shots when need be, being very efficient, relying on their running back. 2018 was Marlon Mack. Now 2021, it's Jonathan Taylor. I think the balance is there for Frank Reich. It's what he wanted all along, and he's not putting the game in Carson Wentz's hands. So Carson Wentz, when he does have those opportunities, it's more so those quick rhythmic throws, or if it's not, it's those deep shots down the field, off play action. You have 8, 9, sometimes 10 guys in the box, and it makes Carson Wentz's job so easy to the point where he can just play pitch and catch with these wide receivers on the outside.
You know, and now flipping over to the defensive side of things, of course, Darius Leonard is the stud linebacker. I mean, all world, of course, he was dealing with his COVID issues as well. But again, I'm assuming most of these guys are going to be returning on Sunday and really have a full roster of guys. But led by Leonard, how is this defense shaping up right now? Because it has been really cooking. Even the last couple seasons, this defense has been scary.
Yeah, very opportunistic defense built around speed and length, the way GM Chris Ballard's wanted it all along in this 4-3 Tampa 2 heavy zone defense. Like you mentioned, Darius Leonard has forced 11 turnovers by himself this year, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, interceptions, whatever you want to name in there. Darius Leonard's done it all for this defense. He is the backbone of this defense. I think it's impressive, too, when he didn't play on Saturday against the Cardinals due to COVID, that EJ Speed, their backup linebacker, stepped right up and got 9 tackles in his first ever start in the NFL. The way that Chris Ballard's built this team on defense, just depth across the board. You have guys behind the starters who can come in and play in a pinch and play well. You have DeForest Buckner in the middle of this defense, who is a game wrecker in this 4-3 defensive tackle position. Grover Stewart's one of the best run defensive tackles in the NFL as well. Quiddy Pay, the rookie edge rusher, is coming to his own. Kenny Moore finally got the respect he deserves as a slot corner. He got his first Pro Bowl nod this year. One of the most underrated corners in the NFL. It's unfortunate Julian Blackman is out this year. He got hurt in practice about 2 months ago, blowing out his Achilles, but he's a game wrecker as well. They've really missed him in some games. But outside of that, I mean, you have the true spine of this defense. You have Leonard in the middle. You have Kenny Moore on the outside. You have DeForest Buckner on the inside. Three young stars on your defense. You can just build around that. The way that Chris Ballard's gone around and overhauled this defense when he first arrived in 2017, it truly is remarkable how different this team looks and how they're really feasting off of how they're built. They have 31 turnovers so far this year, tied for the league lead in the NFL. Very opportunistic, built around speed. And I mean, on Sunday, it's going to be a tough challenge for this Raiders offense to really find a rhythm and get going against them.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you. I mean, right now, I mean, Darren Waller, he hasn't played in a handful of games, so I'm not assuming that he's going to play on Sunday. So if I take him out of the equation, I'm looking at a run game for the Raiders that got cooking last week against Denver, and I'm looking at a guy like Hunter Renfrow, a guy like Zay Jones, you know, potentially Bryan Edwards if he comes back. But, I mean, DeSean Jackson, who's got some speed, he's a 14-year veteran in the league. How does the Colts defense, in your opinion, kind of match up against those guys, and do you see a weak link or an area, not a weak link, but really an area – of the Colts defense that the Raiders may be able to exploit if they have an opportunity?
Yeah, I think one area that might be a little soft is, I would say, I know Rocky Sin and Isaiah Rodgers have really proven themselves as far as this year's boundary quarters, but Xavier Rhodes has really taken a step back this year after he got re-signed in a one-year deal to be their top quarterback this year. Rhodes has really been out-snapped a lot over the last month or so this season by Rodgers and Yassin, those two young corners I just mentioned there. But they can be inconsistent at times. We saw it on Saturday. Isaiah Rodgers got beat down the field a couple times. Rocky Sin has been very good this year, but in some moments he could be inconsistent. And then Xavier Rhodes, if you beat him down the field, there's more often than he's going to allow one or two big plays per game. So whether it be Hunter Renfrow or Bryan Edwards, I could really see a big game from Bryan Edwards on the outside in this game because he's a guy who can take the top off the defense down the field. He can beat you in the middle of the field, almost like Michael Pittman Jr. for the Colts in that same way that Edwards is built. So I really could see a big game from Bryan Edwards if Darren Waller is not out there. If Waller is out there, it gets even tougher because Waller's just a mismatch nightmare, as we all know. So if Waller plays, it's even more difficult. But I could really see an X factor for the Raiders side because I imagine they have Kenny Moore shadowing Hunter Renfrow throughout the game in the slot, wherever he goes. But I could really see Bryan Edwards having a big game, being kind of the X factor, so to say, for this Raiders team.
You know, it should be interesting to see if, you know, Edwards is able to return. Again, he was the COVID-19 guy. He hit the reserve list on Sunday, so I'm assuming he's going to get back again. There's a lot of assumptions going on here, but really, we have no idea. You know, we have no idea who's going to play, who's not going to play, but just kind of trying to look at it from all angles. And I know I already started talking about the defense, but I did want to go back to the offensive line real quick because I know a lot of banged-up guys, and I know a lot of COVID-19 guys as well as far as the Colts offensive line, to the point where everybody from their starting offensive line is out or was out. So what's the status right now of the O-line, and how do you think that they square up and match up against the Raiders defensive line, particularly Yannick Ngakoue and Max Crosby?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting matchup. Assuming that all these guys are back off the COVID list, Quentin Nelson, Mark Lewinsky, Ryan Kelly also comes back from his personal tragedy that he suffered a couple weeks ago, just an awful situation with Ryan Kelly where he lost his child during the process. But also you see those guys get back. Eric Fisher, he's questionable for Sunday after injuring his knee against the Cardinals. But I do think there's a little bit of a soft spot on that left side. Eric Fisher's been, if he's not playing on Sunday, it's probably going to be Julian Davenport. So either way, I think Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue have an edge on the outside. Braden Smith's been a rock at right tackle, so I don't expect much out of him. He should be able to go on Sunday after getting in COVID protocols as well. So we'll have to see on that how much these guys are going to be back. But to be quite honestly, I could easily see Crosby and Ngakoue having one or two moments each where they could really impact this game. Carson Wentz tends to hold into the ball a long time too, so I could really see a moment where there could be a strip fumble or something along those lines to keep this game close. But this interior of the offensive line, I could really see if Nelson's out there, if Lewinsky's out there, if Kelly's back out there, they're just going to bully Jonathan Taylor in this front four for the Raiders with Taylor, Nelson, Kelly, and Glowinski, because that's where their strength is. It's the interior. And you can just have Jonathan Taylor run behind number 56 all night long. So I really see this game kind of being built around playing away from the edges, because they have, I think, a mismatch advantage, the Raiders do, against this Colts offensive line on the outside. But on the inside, it kind of swings back the other direction completely with the way the interior is built. So I really think we're going to see a lot of quick passes from Carson Wentz and a lot of inside runs to counteract that.
It should be interesting. It really should. I mean, the Raiders, to their credit, their defensive line has gotten a lot better as far as slowing down the run. Again, nobody thinks that they're going to stop Jonathan Taylor, because you just don't stop Jonathan Taylor. But they have been a lot better since the bye week on slowing down the run, and their defense has been keeping them in games. They haven't been scoring a lot of points as of late, but their defense has been keeping them in the game. So it should be a very interesting game. Now, if you want to flip it on over and you want to start talking some keys to the game, maybe even some predictions, I'm all for it.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and dive into it, Q. I mean, honestly, we just hit on just now. We've hit on it throughout the show, but Jonathan Taylor, it feels like an easy point to go here, Q. I mean, how do you can't stop Jonathan Taylor, but how can the Raiders contain Jonathan Taylor? Because we saw the Cardinals actually do a really good job on Saturday. Maybe a lot of it was due to the offensive line issues for the Colts having four out of five starters out, but he only had 2.5 yards per carry after that first carry of the game, went for 43 yards. So how do you think this Raiders front four, front seven is going to go against Jonathan Taylor? Because if Taylor gets hot and he gets consistently going down the field for big chunks of yardage, the Colts are going to put up a lot of points on Sunday.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it. And I look at what the Raiders have done, you know, stopping the run and really committing to stopping the run, because that's been their Achilles heel in defense all year long, is committing to stopping that run. Usually in a Gus Bradley defense, they're always pinning their ears back trying to get after the quarterback, but then they've been getting gashed by the ground game. But they've gotten better each and every week since the bye week, and really have done a good job slowing down the run. And then, you know, played Denver last week, a two-headed monster that really wants to run, and held them to 18 yards. Now, I'd be foolish to think that they could do that again against Jonathan Taylor, but that's going to be probably my biggest key to this game. If they could just try to slow down Taylor, I mean, he's going to get his, no doubt, but make someone else beat them. That's what they're going to have to do. So they're going to have to keep that commitment alive to, hey, not only trying to get after the quarterback, but slowing down the run. So you're looking at the defensive tackles in the middle. I'm talking about Jonathan Hankins, Darius Filon, guys like that. Solomon Thomas, a former first-round pick of the 49ers. Guys like that are going to really have to stay disciplined and committed to stopping the run. And again, I don't think you stop Jonathan Taylor by no stretch of the imagination. I think all you can do is try to slow him down and hope that someone else is forced to try to beat you, and then take your chances with them. So I honestly think that the biggest keys of this game is going to come down to the trenches, and it's going to start with trying to slow down Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, speaking of the trenches, as we're recording this, breaking news from the Colts side of things, Q. Quentin Nelson, Rocky Sin, Mark Lewinsky, and Kamoka Touré are all activated off the COVID-19 list. So that interior of the offensive line for the Colts is going to be back in full action on Sunday. But another key to this game I really want to hit on with you, a guy we haven't talked about yet on this show, Michael Pittman Jr. He hasn't had a big game in a little bit, but he's become Carson Wentz's security blanket. He's easily, I think, 40-plus targets ahead of everyone else in this Colts team in terms of targets right now for them. Just easily right now, the WR1, excuse me, for this Colts team. So how do you go about, what do the Raiders have that can stop Michael Pittman? Because I imagine he's averaging 7 to 8 targets per game. When Wentz needs him, he gets about 10 to 12 targets per game. If they could take Pittman out of the mix there, it's going to make the Colts, honestly, one-dimensional.
You know, the thing about it is Casey Hayward, the veteran, I mean, he's a longtime veteran in the league, and he was one of the last guys that the Raiders signed before the season started. He's been very familiar with Gus Bradley's defense with his time with the Chargers. He's been almost like a renaissance man this year. You know, he's played at such a high level and hasn't allowed a touchdown completion yet. And he's just playing kind of out of his mind. He's doing really good, but right now he's currently on the COVID-19 list. So again, assuming that he's going to return, I would think that he's probably going to be tasked with the job of trying to slow down Pittman. But I mean, Pittman's a hell of a player, you know. And then across from Casey Hayward is where the questions come in, because Trayvon Mullen, the starting defensive back for the season. He's out the rest of the season. He's on injury reserve, so he's not coming back. Brandon Faison, who the Raiders picked up from the Chargers practice squad, has done a good job, but he's on the COVID-19 list. He was put on last week, so I'm really assuming he's going to get back. But if he doesn't, then where do you go? You know, they had Desmond Trufant out there, the longtime veteran of the league. He was out there last week, and he actually did a really good job against Denver. But then again, you're going up against Drew Lock. So you know how much of that was Trufant and how much of that was Drew Lock. So there's a lot of questions. I think Casey Hayward, if he returns, you feel pretty solid and feel comfortable about him. But then it's who's playing on the other side. And, you know, it's not like Pittman's the only weapon that the Colts have at the wide receiver position. So one side of the Raiders' corners could be a weak link. If and that's only if they can get Casey Hayward back. If they don't, then, man, you're really talking about a Keyshawn Nixon, maybe an Amik Robertson, maybe Nate Hobbs. I mean, there's a lot of youth that you'll be throwing out there and trusting that they're going to be able to hold their own. So that could be really in the favor of the Colts, depending on how it all shakes out with this COVID-19 situation.
An angle from the Raiders I want to hang with you, because he's actually had success against this Colts team the last couple of years. I love that this has kind of become a yearly matchup, just with the way it's drawn out between the Colts and the Raiders over the last couple of years. But Derek Carr has really torched this Colts secondary the last few times they matched up, completing well over 70% of his passes. He's had a couple of mistakes here and there, but more often than not, he's keeping the Raiders in these games. If Derek Carr gets going, he finds a rhythm, but this pass rush can get going for this Colts team. Derek Carr's going to put up points against his defense. I know the defense has been very good over the last few months of the season, but Derek Carr is kind of the perfect quarterback to go against his zone-heavy defense queue. So what's your thoughts on Carr going against this Colts defense on Sunday? Because if he does get hot, the Raiders are going to put up points themselves.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that, like you said, if he gets into a rhythm, and that rhythm, you'll probably see it early and you'll know what kind of day he's going to have. If you see him go out there and really try to get things cooking with maybe DeSean Jackson and Hunter Renfrow early, then you know he's feeling pretty good about himself. I think that because he gets the ball out of his hands so quickly, you know, trying to help out that offensive line, which, you know, is still trying to grow. It's a work in progress for the Raiders. He's trying to get the ball out of his hands so quickly. He's able to, you know, kind of complete that underneath stuff and maybe take a shot here and there if given the time to be able to let that develop. But when he starts feeling it, man, he starts feeling like he's dialed in, he'll take a few chances as well down the field. Zay Jones is one of his buddies, so that's a guy that he takes some shots towards sometimes. Sometimes it works out great, sometimes it doesn't, but he's trusted him, and so he's throwing the ball and giving him those opportunities to go make the plays. He really could, and again, he's the leader of the team. It's almost like they go as he goes, and if he starts cooking early, then maybe it can start to open up the run game, because the Raiders honestly want to run the ball. They want Josh Jacobs, they want Peyton Barber to get cooking, but a lot of times it takes a while. It took till the second half of the game last week against Denver to get going. So sometimes the pass is going to have to open up the run instead of the opposite, where the run opens up the pass. But the Raiders find ways to get it done, and it is led by Derek Carr. So if he's in a rhythm early, it could be a heck of a game for him.
Let's dive in now, Q, into our predictions, looking at the latest odds via Bet Online, our betting sponsor. As you know, you're the host of Locked On Bets as well. Go ahead and listen to Locked On Bets every week. They're hot right now. You're going to want to get on the action with Q and the boys over at Locked On Bets. But Q, it looks like the spread here at -6.5 in favor of the Colts over the Raiders. This adds into the new COVID protocol issues for both sides. So 6.5 points, the Colts are favorite on Sunday. The over-under is 44.5. What's your prediction here as we go into Sunday? Because honestly, I'll give mine out first, Q. I think this is a very close game throughout. I think we see like a 21-17 score in the middle of the fourth quarter. But then there's a drive late in the game where John Taylor just takes over, shows his MVP self, and he leads the team down the field for a back-breaking touchdown here. I'm going to go 28-17 with that late touchdown from Taylor, kind of put things away late for this Colts team. What's your thoughts, Q?
Well, you know, it's funny. I kind of have the same feeling that it's going to be very close late, and my biggest concern for this game is, you know, that defensive line wearing down and the Raiders defense kind of wearing down and Jonathan Taylor being able to break out, you know, because a lot of times the Raiders defense plays really well throughout the course of the game and the offense isn't able to – it doesn't help them enough. It doesn't complement them enough. And so they're out there on the field and then they get worn down towards the end of the game. So in this one, I'm assuming with so much on the line, it's been an emotional year. It's an emotional week, you know, with the passing of John Madden as well. That's also something that, you know, the Raiders are hopefully they're going to maybe use that as motivation to go out there and play with. I don't know. I said earlier this week that my gut feeling was they're going to find a way to win. I think this is going to come down to special teams and like the last drive of the game or maybe last two possessions of the game. I've been talking about the Raiders just hanging around the game and giving Derek Carr and that offense an opportunity to steal it at the end. So I'm just going to go ahead and continue to ride that out. I'm going to say this is a 21-20 game. The Raiders are going to squeak out and get out of Indianapolis with a win. But, you know, I think it's going to be a close one. But, yeah, 21-20 is what I'm calling.
Yeah, either way, Q, I think we're both spot on here. It's going to be one hell of a game on Sunday, Lucas Oil Stadium, between the Colts and the Raiders. Colts fans, go ahead and follow Q if you haven't already. The Locked On Raiders podcast is with you at Monday through Friday. Raiders fans, I give out some great Colts analysis every single day for Locked On Colts as well. Make sure you're also listening to the Locked On Bets, the entire Locked On NFL podcast network as well. We got great content for you guys every single day, Monday through Friday, to get you ready for each week. Q, this is a lot of fun, man. I really enjoy these crossovers each week, but this is a lot of fun. Really appreciate the time.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. It should be a fun, interesting game. Hopefully, both teams are fully healthy and then go out there and battle it out on the gridiron. And, you know, may the best team come out and win and have a deep run into the playoffs, man. It should be a fun game.